Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. My name is Marilyn Cade, and today I have the pleasure of opening the session where the program will be presented by the IGF Secretariat. I am on the Executive Committee of the IGF Support Association, and just a few minutes on who we are for those of you who don't know. The IGF Support Association was founded to help to develop, to support the IGF Secretariat and to step in as needed in some areas where the UN Trust Fund cannot provide small grants, but also to focus on the support of the national and regional IGFs, in particular the nationals and the sub-regionals, who have had an extensive growth spurt, which we're all extremely proud of. It's great turnout here. I'm going to be turning this over to the to Changitai and to Anya for the full program. But I want to say a couple of words about IGF Support Association, because we are an individual member association, and the benefit of becoming a member of IGFSA is we are really directed as the executive committee by the priorities of the members. So if you aren't a member yet and you want to become one, you can see me later. I like to tell people that the great advantage of becoming an individual member of the IGFSA is you get to tell me what to do. For those of you who know me, you're rushing to become a member, right? Really fabulous turnout. We are going to pass around a sign-in sheet later, and I'm going to ask anyone who is not at the table, if you see an empty seat, please grab it, because that means the remote participants can see you. I've gotten a couple of questions related to what the IGFSA is doing right now related to some funding requests we've received. So let me just open the floor for a couple of minutes for any of you who do have a question for me. I see at least one hand. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Marilyn. Liana Galstan. I'm from Armenia, and I'm a member of the Southeastern European IGF, CEDIC. I do have a question for the IGFSA. Since IGFSA was one of our sponsors, we are launching our IGF for the fifth year this time, and from the beginning, you've been very fundamental as a donor, as a sponsor, and we are very dependent on this funding, not only on IGFSA, but on the other organizations as well. And we've been, we believe we proved to be very good IGF. We are reporting on time, so all the criteria are there. We applied for this year for funding, and we hope to receive what could be allocated, but unfortunately, we received a response that at this time there is no funding for us, and our meeting will be in May, which is very close to this time. I would like to raise this question to the IGFSA, because like you're supporting all the national and regional, sub-regional IGFs. This is very fundamental question for us in order to sustain our meeting. So I'm raising that funding question. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here or on the phone who has submitted a request? Because we did, I know, at the annual meeting, we did tell all of you you had to submit early. So has anyone else that's here? And the country is?
St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Ah, okay. And you, you know, roughly when is your event?
That's April 12th.
Okay.
It's a bit late.
I'm going to have to be doing bake sales, I see. Anyone else who has submitted a request and been told no? Okay. Obviously, I'm only one of the executive committee members, but fortunately we have an informal meeting of the executive committee members who are here tomorrow morning. So I will raise this with them. And if you are planning your meeting, and you have a rough date, would you please see me later and let me know when you plan to have your meeting so that I can present a kind of a coherent idea of at least by July what the gap is. We have some sponsors who are our sponsors sometimes pay with a delayed, so they make a pledge, and then it takes a while for them to actually make the payment. But that would help me to be able to go to some of our sponsors and say, and to new sponsors and say, please help us out in this interim period. I'm sorry I didn't know about it earlier, but I really appreciate you calling it to my attention. And now what I would like to do is introduce our speakers. The majority of the program will be presented by the IGF Secretariat. I want to be sure everyone knows Jen, who most of you know is with .Asia, and so very much a part of the IGF initiatives. She is also here with a dual hat as the Secretariat to the IGFSA. We are also very appreciative of the extra sponsorship of the facilities, because ICANN's new meeting rules actually prohibit you as an individual entity, if you're not affiliated with ICANN, from having access to meeting rooms with remote participation, et cetera. So special thanks to ICANN, who has been extremely generous in both helping the IGFSA, contributing to the UN Trust Fund, but also helping to make these informal meetings take place. And if I may now, Cheng Atai, turn over to you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. And thank you very much for all your support and to IGFSA. And I would also like to thank ICANN, especially Mandy and Nigel, for all the help they've given us. This is the first workshop of this kind, as you can read on the slide there. So this year we're trying to increase our efforts for IGF engagement and outreach, and also try and build the capacity of the various communities to participate in the IGF meeting. We have noticed that... slide, please. Yes, we've noticed that in our IGF meetings, the large majority of people come from the WEOG region, that is the Western Europe, the USA, New Zealand, and Australia region. And Africa is 25% next, and the Asia Pacific region is only 16%, which is very small percentage compared to the number of countries in Asia and also the population of Asia. So this is the start of a program to try and encourage participation from underrepresented groups. And I'd like to thank you all for being here. So as I go through the presentation, since this is IGF-centric and also ICANN-centric, I suppose, we try and encourage participation. So if I'm on a slide and I speak about the slide, if you have any questions about the slide or what I said on the slide, just please raise your hand and I will try and make sure that I'm looking around, and then we can address that question there and then instead of waiting until the end. So hopefully that will make it more interactive. Okay. Now, for our next, as you know, that the IGF is holding its meeting in Berlin this year. It's the last week of November. And since we're trying to encourage participation, this is how you can participate in the IGF 2019 meeting. There is workshops, which is takes the largest portion of the sessions that are available at the actual IGF 2019 meeting. And we've just opened on the 4th of March. We've just opened our workshop proposals submission process, and we too are going to spend the majority of the session going through that workshop proposal submission process, just to give you pointers and to show you how to submit a good workshop that will get noticed by the MAG members. There are also other sessions which are open forums, dynamic coalitions, lightning sessions, and NRI sessions. Anya is going to speak to that at the end of the presentation, but open forums are mostly for governments, for treaty-based organizations, and other international organizations to showcase their internet governance activities. And then we have our intersessional work, which is such as best practices and dynamic coalitions. Again, we're going to say more about that at the end. And these are ongoing throughout the year. So the IGF is not just about an annual meeting, but it's a year-long process. So you are encouraged to join those. And you can, all that information is on our website. And not just the annual meetings online, but the dynamic coalitions and the best practice forums all have activities online. And we encourage you to join and take part, so you don't need to travel. Now, as I said, quoting those statistics, we identified an issue is that we need to increase the visibility and participation, especially from Asia-Pacific communities. Because, yes, I mean, it's one internet, and there are common problems that everybody faces, but certain communities also face distinct problems and issues for the Asia-Pacific region. For instance, if you're talking about the small island states, there are plenty of them here in the Asia-Pacific region. They have their distinct problems. And it's not just problems as such, but different communities have different takes on certain issues. For instance, if you talk about privacy, you get a different set of priorities if you talk to people from the WEOG region as opposed to talking people from the Africa region. They see that differently. I mean, they're all concerned about privacy, but they see it differently. So that's why we feel that it is very important that we get all these different points of view across to come to the Global IGF and share their experiences so people can go home with a broader understanding on what each of these issues mean, and that, yes, it is not just a one-size-fits-all or one view fits all.
Just a question.
Yes, please.
When I look at the pie chart, well, I'm seeing it there.
The pie chart, we can go back.
I think the pie is conforming the pie chart as well that you were just about to show. Right, your focus is on the Asian Pacific, but the smallest portion there, the Gulag, and the Eastern Europe. So I was wondering why Asia Pacific when the smaller areas are...
If you take for Eastern Europe, for instance, if you take the number of countries there and the population, they, depending on where you look, it's about 3% to 4% of the world population. So here they represent 3% of the participants. So that's more or less equal to the population.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Brixon Acosta from Venezuela. I have a related question. I before coming to this meeting, I saw a big procedure to propose themes for the agenda. But anyway, about last month, there was like the procedures of topics to talk for the IGF in Berlin. I remember, I think it was a second range of topics related to literacy, education. I made a proposal, well, not filling the several questionnaire. It was just putting the what you want to talk, what you propose, and a briefing of that. I remember even they gave, I was one of the last one before the closure. I think there were 350, mine was 347. do there is that has some kind of a validity for this new proposal, or should do would I have to make a new proposal, or I don't know.
We'll get to that, but okay. What happened was that we had a call for themes, and then the MAG looked at all 350 of them and looked at what are the commonalities, and then they made, and that informed the decision on what to concentrate on for the Berlin IGF, because you can't concentrate on 350 topics.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, you have to choose. So we, so the MAG did choose. And Anya's going to speak more to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And just the last thing. So GRULOC, according to the statistics that I look at, GRULOC makes about 8% of the world population. So they're 9. So they're fairly well represented, so to speak. I mean, we also have to look at the countries, because we know that, for instance, Brazil is very, very active in that. So they may actually take up other countries, because I haven't come across many people from, you know, Venezuela, for instance. So we'll have to look at the specific countries when we go to that. Okay, thank you. Yes, so just go quickly again to this. So this is the received workshop proposals by region. So these are the overall received workshop proposals. They are not the accepted workshop proposals. And if you look at the accepted workshop proposals, the percentage, I'm sorry, I don't have the graph here now, but the percentage of workshop proposals that are accepted, WEOG has the most. And even though Asia Pacific region puts in 20%, they don't make up 20% of the accepted workshop proposals. So this is part of the things that we are trying to address with these workshops. Thank you. Now, concentrating on the call for workshops.
Here. Can I just ask,
yes,
could you just go back to the other slide? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have a record, but I'm Diego. I'm from the Brazilian IGF. Mm-hmm. Considering that specific information, is either the MAG or the Secretariat considering any sort of action in order to balance that information? So I would say, would you even consider the idea of creating specific quotas for accepted workshops from Western Europe and other countries in order to raise the amount of workshop propositions that come from other regions? I mean, I think there might be something that you guys could take back to Geneva, mostly because I don't think that we would create any disturbance in terms of diversity, mm-hmm. mostly because the nationality of the workshop panelists would not be harmed in case you guys simply say, you know what, from 50 workshops, we will only be accepting 10 workshops from the Western Europe in order to foster the participations of other regions. I don't know. It just came to my mind when I saw you speaking that in many other areas we adopt these sort of measures, and that might be something that we could start discussing.
Yes, thank you. No, we understand that. So, I mean, that's one way of doing it. So we want to attack it on multiple fronts. If we see that there is a great disparity, then we would increase it. But it's more important that in the workshop proposals, it's by merit. If you have a strong workshop proposal. So we're trying to approach it on that front as well. So, I mean, we're not solely doing it by merit or by the way that the MAG classifies a workshop. And we don't want to say we've had this argument or this discussion in the MAG that, okay, so a certain region has got so much percentage of the population, so they should have so much percentage of the workshops. No, we really can't do that. So we're trying several ways to balance it, but the most effective way to balance it is to try and increase, I don't want to use the word, you know, these words like quality and stuff like that, but I'm failing to find another word to use, to increase that, to point out, you know, to show people how to make an effective workshop proposal that will get noticed by the MAG. The MAG itself is composed of people from all over the world, and it's a very balanced MAG. I mean, it has to be a balanced MAG. So it's not a matter of, you know, people from a certain region only picking workshops from their own region, no. And when the MAG actually looks at workshop proposals, all those identifiers are stripped out. So it's a merit-based thing. So that's also the difficulty. Okay. So 4th of March, and then the call of workshop proposals is going to be closed on 12th of April. The earlier you submit, the better it is for us as the secretariat, because then if you submit it and we see something that's wrong, we can inform you. If you submit it in the last day, then we can't do anything. Also, this year, the open forums, etc., will all close on the same day, because we've seen in the past that people who don't get workshop proposals suddenly start submitting open forums and stuff as a way to get around it. So everything closes on the 12th of April. So this year, it's quite important to have a proper workshop proposals. You can't go shopping for the easiest line to get a session at the IGF. And then after that, from 15th April to 5 June, we have the IGF screening. The IGF screening is a very light screening. We just make sure that everything is filled out. It is about internet governance. You know, you're not putting a proposal about, I don't know, electric cars or something like that. You know, it's supposed to be about internet governance. And then the MAG evaluates. After that, we have a meeting on 5th to 7th of June. This year, this meeting is going to take place in Berlin, and that's when the final proposal selection happens. What usually happens is that we have again to your question, we have a merit-based, the top 60 workshops or so get in automatically. Then we look at those statistics, and then we have a discussion on why, and then the MAG points out, okay, we think that to balance things out, we think that this workshop should get in. And it's not just about, you know, regional representation. It's also about topics as well. I mean, we need to have some sort of a balance with the topic. So that happens 5 to 7 of June, and then those get published. If your workshop proposal doesn't get in, you can still apply for a flash session, which is a smaller, how many minutes, 30 minutes? 20 minutes. Yeah, 20-minute session, which you can do. Unfortunately, it's not a full workshop room, etc., but that's one way of doing it. And there is also a waiting list, because sometimes people apply for workshops and they suddenly can't get it all together, and then there's a space open, and then the secretariat can approach the next person on the waiting list to say, okay, this space just got opened, you can fill in if you're able to do so. Oh, yes, and there's also mergers. I personally don't really like mergers as such, because what I've seen in the past is that with mergers, you get two workshops together, and they basically split the session. And I've tried to talk to some workshop proponents as well, and even if they've got exactly the same title and there's a comma in one and not a comma in the other, no, they're two completely different workshops. But of course, I mean, some people have got very successful mergers, so we'll keep on trying that. but that's just my feeling. And but we do have mergers. So the minimum requirements for workshops, so MAG members themselves cannot submit to workshops. Their organizations can. MAG members can also recuse themselves from marking a workshop. Now, not all MAG members evaluate all workshops. They are randomly assigned to groups. And then if you find that you have a group of whatever 50 or 40 workshop proposals, if you come from one organization and you're marking it from your organization, you can recuse yourself and the IGF secretariat will assign that MAG member another workshop and switch that workshop out. Now, the subject has to be relevant to internet governance, and this year we have thematic narratives, which we will get to. The three themes that we have this year, and this is a result of the process that we carried out at the beginning of the year in January, I think end of December to January. The three themes that we came up with is data governance, digital inclusion, and security, safety, and resilience. So if you're submitting a workshop proposal, it has to fall under one of these themes. We also say you have to have a minimum of three provisional confirmed speakers. Of course, this is also dependent on the type of workshop that you have. And we don't want seven speakers or eight speakers. There have been some workshops, you divide the number of speakers by the time allocated to the workshop, and then each speaker has got 3 minutes, and there's no room for interaction. With the IGF, it's all about the discourse, so we do want people to interact. And if you have held a previous workshop, this is for the past 3 or 4 years. We're not talking about if you hold a workshop, 10 years ago. But then you should have submitted a report on that. This is also very important because it goes into our chairman's summary, and also we get our IGF messages from your workshops and what you have, or the conclusions that you have derived in your workshop. And we would also want to build upon the work that you've done in that meeting. We don't want to, restart the wheel again. So if you don't report it, how do people know, where you've gone to? Thank you. Next. Yes.
Hi, I'm Millie from India, for the record. My question is pertaining to the speakers. Is there any kind of minimum parameter of, how qualified they should be or any qualification for them to be speakers? And B, remote and online participation for speakers, is that allowed? Thank you.
Yes, remote and online participation for speakers is allowed, and we also encourage it. In Berlin, we have no doubts about the quality of the network there. We've told them that, forget everything that you've learned about conferences. What you have, just triple the bandwidth, triple the IP addresses in the bucket available. So we think that is going to be working. We are going to get into it into greater detail. Sorry, there's going to be a little bit of repetition in this presentation. We do need a diversity of speakers. So they have to represent different viewpoints and from different stakeholder groups and hopefully from different regions as well. So there is a set diversity quota, but experience is not necessary. I mean, wisdom can come from anywhere. It can come from, somebody who has first time they've seen the internet to those who've been on the internet since they were born. It can come from a 2-year-old. It can come from a 70-year-old. Thank you. And so this is the workshop evaluation criteria. So as I said, relevance. Does it address one of the policy questions? There's the diversity criteria, content, format. There's a different types of formats which we get into, and also your plan for audience interaction. As I said, that is key to the IGF. It's one of the key principles of the IGF. That's why the IGF was made, actually, so that people from different stakeholder groups can interact. And with that, I will hand it over to Anya.
Thank you very much, Chengetai. Maybe now just to go quickly through the form for how to submit the workshop proposal. This year, the form has been changed compared to the last year. Hopefully, you will recognize those changes as improvements to the previous form. And we're also hoping that many of the elements of that form are self-explanatory, so that they don't need a lot of time spent on explaining individually certain steps. But let's just maybe quickly go. The form is, of course, available on the IGF website. That is through the channel through which you will be submitting your workshop proposals. Please note that before you will access the workshop proposal form, you will have to register with the IGF website, but you will be guided by the website's guidelines. The form consists of 18 sections. The first section, I don't think we should spend much time on it. Somebody needs to be the contact person to take the responsibility for the whole proposal. It can be anyone, and you just need to fill the basic details, such as, for example, the name, what is your gender, stakeholder, and the regional group, country that you're coming from, email, and organization that stands behind you, as well as the location of the organization. The next segment of the workshop will lead you to, yes, the biggest change that this process went through, which is the so-called thematic approach through the so-called narratives. So your workshop proposals will need to fall under one of the three themes that the MAG agreed. Chengetai mentioned it at the beginning. So these are, as you see, data governance, digital inclusion, and security, safety, stability, and resilience. It could be, obviously, that these themes are maybe not very broad, of course, and sometimes you can have doubt whether your proposal falls under a particular theme. Maybe it falls under two or three. So in that sense, we advise you to check the explanation for each of these three tracks. How will you do that? So if you click on data governance here, before you on data governance or digital inclusion or security, safety, stability, and resilience, the form will lead you to this kind of a display. So each of the three themes has a narrative. That narrative is an explanation on what the theme covers thematically. It is also followed by the so-called illustrative policy questions. These are open-end questions. That means that the MAG proposed, I believe, five questions, but you as the workshop proposers can, of course, propose more questions. So this is an example how the digital inclusion is explained. Down you can see the reference to the SDGs. You will see that when we come later toward the end of the form that the sustainable development goals are also one of the requirements, not mandatory, though, of the form, and they will ask you to associate your proposal with one of the 17 SDGs. The form will later guide you to the third section, which is called the issues. So each of the three thematic tracks or themes is followed by issues. The good thing is that you don't have to brainstorm a lot on yourself. The MAG has taken care of the fact that you are offered a couple of issues as suggestions. These issues came from the so-called call for issues that was mentioned previously. In case you don't find your issues in this drop-down, then you can create your own issue. So that's also an open end, and we don't put any restrictions on the organizers. In case you will be creating your own tag or issue, then you will click, as you can see, on that green, those green letters where it says edit, and that will lead you to this slide. So it's quite simple, where you will describe your tag, which is, again, not mandatory. What's very important for the MAG is that they know the exact term that belongs to your tag. So that's a mandatory segment. we always advise to make it self-explanatory, so don't put a whole sentence. This field will allow you to put a sentence, but put something that's short and that, when you read it, speaks for itself on what you're referring. Like, for example, the gender divide is quite self-explanatory in that sense. In that sense, when you do that, don't forget to save your input. And then the form will bring you back to the one of the very important criteria for evaluation of the proposals, which are the policy questions. As I said, the narratives that are following the themes are followed by five illustrative policy questions. You can go back to your theme, to the narrative, that was slide 13, I can go back later, and look again at the policy questions, and if you're fine with the wording, then you can just copy-paste to the field number 5. But if you're not fine with it, then you can, of course, add your own policy questions. So it's completely up to you. The workshop session title is limited to 60 characters.
Anya?
Yes?
Let me just ask a quick question, too. One is, you're going to update the slides that are posted, just as a reference for everyone, that you will update them so they'll be on the ICANN website, but they will also then be posted on the IGF website, right?
Yes, the slides will be on the IGF website.
I just wanted to be sure because sometimes people find it hard to find things on the ICANN website. Thanks.
Thank you. I never had that experience, for the record, but thank you for reminding us. So, as I said, the title is limited to 60 characters, but I think that's the common maximum length of the every single title, and that's enough when it comes about naming your proposal. For the
Anya,
policy question,
just one thing. Despite of the fact that it seems to be the general length of titles, last year we had a very, very hard time with 60 characters for topics, because I mean, it generally gives you about 8 words, and sometimes you need actually to be a bit more explanatory in the title. So I think that generally what we are considering are just like 25 to 50 words in a title. So, and it's just like at least 2 complete sentences for a title in order to make it to make sense. But yeah, just wondering that we had a hard time last, and we created titles, very fancy titles, and then we just have to say, you know what, it's nothing related to the content.
I know. Unfortunately, part of the problem is that if you have an agenda, if you have more than 60 characters, then it does not fit. So if you have a schedule, you know, with the boxes, if you have more than 60, it doesn't fit. So you can have the fanciest title, but if it gets cut off.
But can I give you just one example? We had one workshop whose title was something like New Institutional Solutions to Enable Access to Data in Online Crime Investigations, Experiences from the Global South. That's a very reasonable title, right? Then in order to change it, we had to put, it's just like the Cloud Act and the e-evidence framework, period. And then it put a lot of pressure in the way that the MAG evaluated our proposal. And we wanted to talk about the perspective of developing countries, which were actually being sort of harassed by European and American authorities. And we could not convey that message on the title. And we had to be lucky to have people looking in the content of the proposal in order to understand what we were doing there. And I mean, just like the cloud evidence and the e-evidence framework, implications for the Global South.
I fully understand. We have a second box where you can elaborate on the title, but it's still no use if you can type in, you know, a paragraph for the title online, but then if you have a schedule and people can't read the title because, you know, there isn't enough space in the box, we have a problem. So
totally understand that, Changetai, but I mean, we can have an agenda with quotes And then we can have a list of titles for the website, and that will maybe solve the problem in that case. And we can even have both solutions implemented at the same time, short titles and long version titles for the two different systems. But that's just a suggestion.
Yeah, yeah. No, we are here to listen and to see. I mean, that's the solution we came up with. If we can work out a different, better solution, all the better for all of us.
Sorry, I'm totally with you, Cheng and Tai, because we are also drafting agendas for the Eurodig. Please consider your title as a kind of code. It should be sexy, short, and it's really for someone who is visiting the agenda. And if you have to go to a code and then go to a text that explains a little bit more, that's also a ability to express yourself very crisp in a title and then elaborate a little bit more. I mean, the title basically is the momentum where you get the attention of the people, and possibly we should be all a little bit more creative in terms of how we create and not have these explanatory two sentences long from the developing blah 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 blah, but something crisp that brings in the people directly and then have the I totally agree, because when visiting the agenda, I also want to see a title that attracts me, and then I go to that session and look if it's interesting.
Hi, I'm Millie. Just from my experience in publishing and as a journalist, we generally face this challenge with longer headlines when working with the digital medium. What we usually do is we have a headline and there's a little something with a smaller font, which we call the subhead. I can imagine the workshop proposal almost looking like that, where you have a headline, and to go in his case, it says whatever the first important thing is, and then experience of the Global South becomes subhead. It adds enough context, and people can still see it right at the first time, so it also gains the correct attention and tells you exactly what it is. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Just, Cheng Atta explained well the reasons on our side. I fully understand, and I'm with you in your reasons. We will report out of this very important workshop for us, so hopefully maybe some kind of a compromise can be found in terms of Diego's suggestion. Let's go next. Yes, after the policy questions, so it's only needed to basically name them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then when it comes about relevance to the team, that's very important. Where we advise that you go back to the narrative, read it once again, and then try to, in a very logical way, explain why your workshop proposal is relevant to a particular team that you've chosen. It's also important to say why are you discussing these issues, how will you address it, what do you want to achieve with this discussion, what are the potential benefits, and so on. The next segment will be related to so-called relevance criteria. All workshop proposals falling under any of the three thematic tracks, of course, have to be relevant to the internet governance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because Cheng Atta already covered it, but I think it's very important to note here that, as you know, we're still operating with the so-called WGIG Working Group on Internet Governance definition of the internet governance, and in that sense we advise that you go through the definition. That definition will be referenced in the form itself, and then try again in a very clear, simplified language to explain why a proposal relates to the internet governance, to particular segments of this definition, what do you want to achieve, and so on. So after that, we will reach the format criteria. The MAG looks at this criteria specifically. It's very important for them to see what kind of a format your workshop will be taking. Usually, the interactive formats are encouraged, and in that sense, that's why the MAG also suggested a couple of, I believe, 7 types of different formats, like, for example, Birds of Feathers or roundtables, debates, and so on. So you can choose among all these options. It also allows you to choose the duration of your session. So it can be starting from 30 minutes across 60 minutes and ending with 90 minutes. The MAG also will look, and that's very important, the duration of the sessions at the end, especially for the secretariat. It's important because we operate with a limited time framework each day. So in that sense, it's also an advice for the organizers to be wise in choosing the timing. Sometimes it's more effective to say something in just 30 or 60 minutes than in 90 minutes, and of course to choose the appropriate format. On these formats, on the IGF website, there is actually an explanation of each of these formats, what does it mean. So what is a panel, what is about a feather, and so on. But aside of the suggested formats, you are encouraged actually to try to submit a creative, innovative format. The MAG really likes that. That's what we learned in the past couple of years. They also evaluate that. So if you will do that, there is a text field just below this section where you can describe your new format. So if we move next to the diversity criteria.
For the diversity criteria, which we've mentioned before, so we would like for a minimum of three elements indicated there to fit into the diversity. So you have to have, you know, diversity of stakeholder groups, gender, regions, policy perspectives, inclusion of people with disabilities, inclusion of youth, you know, developing countries, etc. So one tip is the more unique your diversity criteria, the more points you get. So if you just have stakeholder groups, gender, and regions, you know, A, B, C, and somebody else, and you've got a workshop that is the same, but this person has got, you know, a person with disabilities, first-time participants, and something else that is, you know, of a underrepresented group that we haven't heard of before, you know, somebody from, I don't know, well, maybe it's safer not to give examples, but yes, that will be taken into consideration as well, because we want to encourage the most diverse views possible. So you'll gain more points the more diverse your panel is. The MAG doesn't really do any proper checking as such. So it's not automatically checked by the Secretariat or the MAG, but, you know, please just don't mark things off randomly, because we may look deeper into it, and if you don't comply, then okay. Next, please. So there is a space there where you have to explain how your diversity criteria will be achieved. And as I said, you know, previously, the more innovative your diversity criteria is, the better it is for the proposal. Okay.
Maybe as an example, because we've received a number of questions, what does it mean, how to remedy if you can't achieve the diversity in this form? So, yes, well, I always speak very quickly, yes, thank you. So how to remedy? For instance, it can happen that you cannot 100% ensure that your speakers will have funding. So in that sense, you can propose maybe alternative speakers and so on, and say that those will be the plan B in case the plan A doesn't work. So that's always good, and I think the MAG always calculates counts on your honesty.
Okay, thank you. Next. Okay, so for the content criteria, which is number 10, the session description, you know, what is the objective of your session? So you should write what your objective of your session is, what issues and policy questions that the session will discuss, the agenda as well, and the more innovative your agenda, the better it is. Any outcomes, you can elaborate on the outcomes, and how will the session be facilitated? Of course, we do have those session formats, but if you're going to do something else that's different in the session, please let us know there. It will also help your workshop proposal. Now, for the expected outcomes as well, that's also very important, but it's not critical. I mean, it is sometimes good just to discuss. If it will have some outcomes that will feed into something else, then that's good as well. If it's a starter workshop, that's fine as well. But if it's something that is well-worn and the outcome is already being well-discussed, then, of course, it has less chance of gaining a higher mark than if it's something that is the MAG hasn't seen before or something that is newer than something that we've been discussing since 2006. Yes.
How many of you in this room, it's Marilyn speaking, will we be being transcribed? We are being transcribed, right?
We are not transcribed.
I don't think so.
We need to say the name because of online participants.
That wasn't why I asked. Mm-hmm. We're not being transcribed. So we'll have an MP3, but not a transcript. Okay. My name is Marilyn Cade. But how many of you in this room have previously submitted a workshop proposal? Okay. I'm not sure. I have coached now every year somewhere between 4 and 5 people who are submitting workshop proposals. And there's probably 2 people in this room that kept me up all night when IGF submission. It's probably Changitai. but the reason I asked the question is, Anya, as I look at this, there's a lot more requirements. And perhaps I'm misunderstanding, but if I'm wrong, could you and Changitai clarify? Normally, you would design your workshop, fill in the content, identify your speakers, your format, but you wouldn't necessarily have to confirm your remote moderator and your moderator or facilitator this early in your proposal. You would have to describe the format. Are there changes in who in the functional roles that have to be confirmed when they submit?
To answer your question, is it more requirements? Yes and no, because you have to put in the your organizers, your remote panelists, but they don't necessarily have to be confirmed as such. Last year, when you put in your organizers, you put in your panelists, they received an email and then they had to click, and then you had to basically have them locked in. This year is different. It's based more on trust. It's based more on best effort. So that is the change. Here, when you click, in this box, this is for the workshop organizers as well. So diversity of organizers will be very helpful. So they shouldn't all come from the same country or the same region. If you have a diversity of organizers, diversity of points of view, that is great. So for the first step, you click on the green, and then you can check if your organizer is already registered. If they're not registered in the system, you can put in their name, put in their email addresses, some basic information, and then add them to the profile. They will receive an email which they may decide to come in and fill in the profile, but that is not a hard requirement. That's fine. And then you just put in their email addresses and the system will recognize them. Yes.
Is it possible in this workshop proposal form, if there is anything new, it's different to last year or previous, can you mark up some kind of different color so when we submit a proposal, we know this is something new, it's a different
put to in the like previous a new one tag or something? Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be easy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, okay, we'll work
Thank
on
you.
That. Mm-hmm. And we had a question, Joanne.
Thank you so much. Joanne is my name, a fellow. I have 2 questions. One, I've seen in one of your requirements, you're also asking the speakers, for example, it would be in Germany, are they some in Germany or they are from your country? And then number two, on that question, what would be the impact if I come up with speakers that are not part of your location? And then number two, if I write a proposal and it gets on board, it is accepted, what happens to the funding? Do you fund the person who came up with the proposal, or you will give funding to the entire team? Thank you.
Okay. So with the proposals, proposers, that's a diversity requirement. So it doesn't have to be. I mean, that's one of the options. You can choose somebody from the host country, or you can choose somebody that's already in the system, or you can choose somebody that is outside of the system. For those people, we also have help for those people who cannot find panelists to meet the diversity criteria. We do have some profiles of people who have said they are willing to be asked to be on a workshop, so that's okay. As far as funding goes, we do have some funds, but available, which we will have a system in place later on, but it's not automatic. I mean, we have a little bit of funds, not a lot of funds. So if your workshop is accepted and they don't have funds to come in, you can send an email or go through the system and request. But then again, if it's person is just coming for one workshop and it's a workshop that is something that we've seen a lot of times in the IGF, I mean, their chances are low of getting. But if somebody comes from a country who has never attended the IGF, then of course it's much higher. Again, because of that requirement of diversity of views, etc. So, I mean, it's one of those things. We don't have limited funds. This year we have slightly more funds than we usually have. So that's something that you have to think about as well. And also, if you're doing just one workshop, as opposed to somebody who has three accepted workshops and one funding, the person with three accepted workshops will come in, because that's more bang for the buck, for instance. I think we've gone through, this is exactly the same thing as the organizers, but this is for the speakers. The requirements are three speakers provisionally confirmed. You can propose up to five speakers. If you have a session that basically doesn't have speakers, it's got an invigilator, I mean, that's okay too. You just have to explain it and explain how you're going to do it, because there are sessions which is more of the debate, but then the agenda and how you're going to carry it out has to, you have to spend more time explaining to the MAG person what you're going to do in that session. Okay, moderators as well. I think we've touched up on the moderator. It's important to have an on-site moderator. Unfortunately, we cannot provide moderators to every single room, because we just don't have the capacity as the IGF secretariat. So we do ask you to assign a moderator, and also an so online and on-site moderator. But everybody here has used Adobe's, which is very similar to WebEx. So I think, you know, people are familiar with that. Okay, next. That's the interaction criteria. I think that is self-explanatory. We don't have to really go through that. Yes, supporting documents. Sometimes it's good to have supporting documents if it's a some issue that you think that we're not familiar with, or you just want to underline the importance of that topic that you have proposed, you can attach documents, whether it be statistics that you want to address this issue, because in there's this report that says in this region or in this country, so much percentage of these people are with or without this, or this causes that, you know, there's some study, and that's why you are proposing this workshop. All the better, you'll get more points for that. And it's also very important, once you upload something, to save. And throughout, always save, because you never know what might happen, and you have a glitch, and then you have to start from the very beginning. And especially those people who start submitting or start writing workshop proposals the day before, and you know, it's very heavy system, and it's just like university students, you know, it's basically an S-curve. 90% of our workshop proposals come the last 24 hours, so something might happen to the system and you not be able to submit, so please save every few questions. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chikentai. I would like to leave right now because I do have another commitment. That's why I wanted to interrupt and just jump in a little bit. For all the participants, I'm a MAG member, and I'd like to encourage you one more time to submit applications to workshops for the IGF, and this is the way that you can bring your voice and what you want to speak and to bring on the discussions. A quick recap on the change of the evaluation system, what we're doing. I would like to assure you that we are carefully checking the randomly assigned workshops, but we try to do our best to evaluate them properly on all the criteria that have been set here. So please take care of all those things that have been set on this presentation, and try to adjust your workshop properly so that we will give the higher score, and in those the best fitted workshops will be selected, and you will have the opportunity to come and participate. And also, don't get to discouraged if your workshop will not be selected, so please keep submitting and see what's wrong. And probably in this case, maybe the mergers would be a solution, but we will see that later on. Yeah. At the evaluation. So thank you very much for this this session also. And thanks to ICANN for every time given a space. This is really a very encouraging exercise that everyone come and listen what's happening and what is IGF is about and how to, yeah, they can submit their workshops. Thank you very much for coordinating.
No, thank you very much. Now, sorry, let me get back to my slides. Now, as far as the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, we believe that the internet touches on every single one of these. And since we are the United Nations and we are pushing these development goals, and I think everybody is on board with them, it's also very important, and it will also help your workshop if you would indicate which goal that your workshop is related to. And I don't think there'll be any problem with you picking a goal or as many goals as you think are associated with your workshop. That's you.
If you don't have any questions about the workshops, yes, Sandra, and then we're going to go there. And then, yeah.
Thank you, Anja. It's Sandra Hofrichter speaking. Chengentai mentioned already that this time this kind of shopping, if I don't get a workshop, I go for an open forum and so on and so forth, will not work. Unfortunately, I cannot log in to the IGF website at the moment, but how is the procedure to apply for any other session? And here I mean open forum, side events, other things that might not be part of the official agenda of, or that might not fall under what we call workshop under this kind of template, but are still sessions, side events that will be scheduled in the overall agenda?
Yeah, we intend to advertise those on our website starting next week. So you just go there. I mean, this is day zero, everything else. NRIs, sessions, that's another procedure which Anya will handle. I think you'll discuss that internally amongst yourselves to decide.
Hi, this is Mariko speaking from Japan. I submitted my first workshop proposal in the last year. It was my first IGF, and fortunately, it was passed. But what is most difficult for me, because I was the first, very beginner for IGF, was like finding speakers, speakers to attend my workshop. And I know there is like the potential speakers list in use. Like we have a list, but is there any other like this potential speakers list in IGF web page, or is there any platform to contact the potential speaker if I want to find someone in other countries, in other regions?
Yes, we do have a resource persons list that you could go on and search and see if they would fit your requirements for your workshop.
Mm-hmm. It is on the IGF web page?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I think we need to, then we'll go here and then come back to you.
Thank you, Anya. Just two quick clarifications. The first time organizer, we talking about only about the person or about the organization as well? The second question is about a maximum of 5 speakers. I remember that last year it was some sort of, we strongly encourage to have the maximum of 5 speakers, but I don't know if I missed something, but it seemed to me that to this year it will be mandatory to be the maximum of 5 speakers. Is it correct or not? Thank you, that's it.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, so when it comes about the organizers, that relates to the first-time proposers, to the organizations in that sense. So, sorry, do you have anything to add? And for the maximum of speakers, I actually will leave this to Chengetek.
No, this is what we recommend. You can have more than 5, but again, then you're point system will go down a little bit because we don't want 7 talking heads and no interaction.
Manmeet Pal Singh, ICANN Fellow and Vice President of Internet Society Delhi. I think this deck out here is pretty representative and the of the best practices followed to submit workshop proposal. I had a suggestion if I'm allowed to present. I think at the end of the deck, it'll be good to add some of the selected previously selected workshops. Workshop proposals so that it gives a fair bit of an idea of what kind of workshops have been previously been selected. Just a few of the workshops.
So you want some example workshops
exactly.
That have
yes.
had high point. Okay,
at
sure.
The end.
I think we can arrange something like that. I mean, we'll have to...
Nope. I really object to that, Changatai. It's Marilyn, and let me explain why.
No, but we already have it on the website. We have a couple of...
Sorry?
We already have it on the website, a couple of the top-ranked workshops of last year.
So I'm
May not help you because we've changed a little bit, but...
Well, it's Marilyn Cade, and I'm going to speak frankly about this. I was a MAG member, and I have been at every open consultation and at every MAG planning session, And I also follow very closely the, and I participate as a former MAG member on all of the planning sessions. This is still an emerging approach. And the MAG composition changes every year. So the criteria, an example of a workshop that was rated very highly by one MAG wouldn't necessarily have been rated highly by another MAG. It seems to me that, you know, you really have to, you could point people to the examples that are on the website of workshops that took place because they were obviously approved. But if you do start saying this one was highly rated, that one was not, just to follow up on a point you made earlier, the MAG could say, well, I looked and that particular topic has been spoken about for 7 years or 5 years. So even though it was highly rated this year, that might move it down to the bottom. So I'm just really, really cautious about implying that, you know, so I would say if you propose a workshop as a model and new people here use that as a model and they don't...
We have to change it. As I said, we have to change it. But we have discussed the idea of having a model workshop proposal on the website. I think it's further discussion. As I said, I'm not saying no. You've made a very valid point there.
I know, just wanted to add, not to base the proposals or workshops on, workshop proposals on those on that selected examples or the model workshops proposals, but it's just to give a fair bit of idea of you know, how people should be able to submit a very a strong proposal.
Yeah, no, I mean, both of you have got a point. it's worth looking into, and we'll discuss it with the workshop evaluation group, and if they decide to, we'll do it. If they say no, we won't. Yeah. But yes, I mean, you make valid points, and I also mentioned that the criteria has changed a little bit. We are going to try and see if we can implement that new tag if there's something that is new on the questions, or something that are new or modified, let me put it that way. I think that's the thing. But it's both are valid points, and as I said, we're here to hear your ideas as well. We've had a couple of ideas, you know, about the length, about we're going to take all those and we're going to discuss them. So we're not throwing away anything and we're not saying that we know how everything should be.
Well, thank you for the question. I can add anything, please.
Thank you. Mine is more like a follow-up question. My sister there asked a question in terms of the funding. I needed more clarity. In the sense that I felt it was not answered enough. My question actually goes to the issue of saying, if we're saying there's funding, would it be a bad idea to let it public to say that this is so much that we have allocated? My understanding is when we budget, obviously we have budget allocation for each and every item. So when it comes to funding, would it be a bad thing to say that for those who need funding, we have allocated so much to assist you? This is not a matter of saying this for the sake of accountability, but it also helps in terms of people to understand how far they're going with it.
Okay. Yes, thank you. As I said, there's plans, so it's a plan. It is not set yet. We're still in the process. Once that process is done, then we're going to inform. But I was just saying that because she answered is, you know, is there a possibility? Yes, there is a possibility. What are the exact parameters of that possibility? I cannot tell you that yet because it's several people are involved in that. We don't have the money. The donors, if the donors say, we want to give money for this, that is what we give money for, this, because it's what happened. So it's still in the discussion phase. And well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but as I said, we're here, we've heard you, and we're going to put that down as well. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Any other questions related to the workshop system? Oh, yes. Okay, maybe we can start with Dennis and then move all the way to Cheryl.
Yes. Hello. Good evening once again. You mentioned that in my previous question, which is still on the table, what happened with the proposals that were submitted, and if any of those proposals were approved, can it be converted into this kind of proposal with more questions, or do we have to start from zero again?
Well, thank you very much for raising your important question. So there were two processes that are very important to note here. The one was what was call for issues, and another one was call for workshop proposals. Your submission to the call for issues is recorded, and of course it was looked at by the MAG. Now the call for workshop proposals is a different process, and we invite you to look at the IGF website of the requirements and submit a good workshop proposal along with other organizations that you can partner with.
If you want to know what happened to the call for issues, is that the call for issues were looked at and was converted into the three themes that we have. And also, the issues that were set have, some of them have also been converted to tags, because in the workshop proposal, you can tag your workshop. So that's what we did with that call for issues, with the data that you provided. So it has been integrated into the call for workshops. Yeah.
Can we now, yes, Dennis and then Cheryl.
Anya, thank you. Dennis Tan, representing the Dynamic Coalition on DNS issues. Silly question, as I navigate this IGF for the first time. So do Dynamic Coalition have, by default, a space slot in the IGF agenda, or do we have to also propose a workshop proposal, submit a workshop proposal in order to get time slot and be on the main agenda and whatnot?
Last year and in previous years, if Dynamic Coalition is in good standing, that means that it's been registered with the IGF, it has produced a report, and it has produced a work plan, they automatically got a slot. We are having that discussion tomorrow in the MAG, and if there's no objection to that within the MAG, we will continue that practice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Since we are approaching the end of the time of reserve for this workshop, I'm just going to continue going through the presentation. So aside of the workshops, just as Dennis mentioned, there are, of course, dynamic coalition sessions. Chengeta explained the process. That process is completely independent of the MAG. It was developed in a bottom-up manner by the network of dynamic coalitions. And just as Chengeta said, I know that it's related to the DC submitting their policy papers. Olivier is here. He is much more experienced with the DCs than myself, so maybe he can also follow up if needed as well. Yes.
Can I ask a different question about it? You know, because last year the meeting is in Paris and previous one is in Geneva, and all in the winter. And this time again, we are in Berlin, also in the winter. And you are asking the Asia Pacific people is, engage in and participate more. Could it possible move to the Asia somewhere so it's close to us and say we can not spend a lot of money fly to the wind, call Europe?
We would love for it to be in the Asia Pacific region. We're just waiting for
it. Yeah, really, because the continuously you want always in November, and there is a winter there. Geneva is cold, Paris is cold, Berlin could be very cold too in November.
please talk to your governments, and if they, you know, they can contact me and we can arrange. We'll be more than happy to be here. We were lost in the region when we went to Indonesia, Bali. That was wonderful. The weather was warm and.
Just to maybe continue, I think we have 3 minutes left, so I'll be very quick. The open forums and the lightning sessions are already explained by Chengetai. As Chengetai said, the call will be open next week, so please do follow the announcement through social medias and also on the website of the IGF. The NRI sessions are subject to bottom-up independent procedures of the NRIs. So all of you that are affiliated with the National, Regional, and Youth IGFs, you are probably aware of how these sessions are formed. If you would like to be affiliated, please do contact the Secretariat, and we'll be happy to have you briefed on this. We also invite you, of course, to join the IGF's intersessional work. There are 17 dynamic coalitions that are doing just wonderful job. There are 4 best practice forums. All of these are having regular bi-monthly virtual meetings. We invite you to visit the IGF website, subscribe to dedicated mailing lists, and join these calls and help us produce a good outcome results of on these topics. Of course, I think we're very fortunate to have as important partners 114 national, regional, and youth IGFs. As you can see, they are spread all over the world. And they all host meetings throughout, well, the biggest majority host meetings throughout the year. If you go on the IGF website, you can find out more about these. And, of course, the IGF Secretariat will be happy to connect you to the focal points of each of these initiatives. And finally, maybe I'll give the last word to Chengetai to invite us. Yes, Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much, Anya. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I couldn't be in a meeting without at least speaking once.
He's unheard of.
It's a joke. Sorry. Well, it isn't really. can we just roll back just to the... this page here. Just wanted to emphasize one thing. This is intersessional work, which is, I think, very important because this really kind of links up from one IGF to another IGF, and it's ongoing, and it produces amazing work out there. Both the best practice forums and the dynamic coalitions have come up with ongoing reports and things that they've actually presented outside the IGF as well, which works in two ways. One way being also publicizing the IGF, but also being really quantifiable reports, real stuff that comes on the table and that you know is like a result that can then be given over to stakeholders outside the IGFs. The only problem that these face is that they don't have enough people involved in them. Out of the thousands of participants that come to the IGF, there are not enough that are directly involved in those projects. They are all open for everyone to attend. So I would really implore everyone in this room who have made the trip across from the other building, you've walked over, consider joining one or more of these and helping out even a little bit, because that would really help with the output and that would actually make a lot more people involved with it. Thank you.
Hi, this is Colin Curry for the record. I think I must have had the wrong agenda description because I was waiting for the open floor, so maybe it changed. But anyway, I was hoping to make the comment that it stuck out to me yesterday in the cross-community working group on internet governance that there might be a role for the IGF in trying to be this space that kind of connects the different technical standard-setting bodies. So looking at emerging issues that might be affecting the IEEE, IETF, and ICANN, and trying to emphasize that connective tissue role could be a potential. There's obviously a real need for it, and we're seeing that, you know, there's this legislation that's coming out that could potentially negatively impact the internet architecture around the world. So maybe bringing together the different stakeholders and governments, we can have an emphasis on both, you know, looking at emerging trends and looking at the things that people want to talk to around the world, but also giving a platform to the people from different standard setting bodies to come together and see what they're saying. So that way we can keep on top of the technology and the problems that we'll be facing tomorrow. Thanks.
I can just say that I agree with you. It's a very good comment and constructive. And, of course, all stakeholders come to the IGF, they network, and hopefully they produce certain outcomes.
Just very quickly, it's Marilyn speaking. Those are sometimes the kinds of day zero activities that get organized, because Day Zero does not have the same kind of criteria. The events don't have to be approved by the MAG, and very often on Day Zero, that kind of, you know, problem-solving, solutions-oriented work can take place. So I just want to reinforce the idea that not everything has to be a workshop.
Yes. Yes, I don't know whether Nigel would like to add a comment or not.
Don't really need me. Nigel Hicks and I can. It's fantastic to see so many people. I think that's a very good suggestion indeed. I mean, one of the things that we I think would like to see at the IGF, and whether we put in a workshop proposal with others, or as Marilyn said, do it as a day zero, is looking at some of the legislation and regulation that affects our ability to have a sort of single interoperable internet. So it's a theme that you've heard our CEO Joran, you know, talk about at this ICANN meeting, and it's something we'd like to carry on the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both Marilyn and Nigel. And with this, if there are no follow-up comments, we can just wrap up by inviting you all to join us in Berlin for the 14th annual meeting of the IGF. You can definitely expect a lot, and I think I'm just being reasonable here when I say that. We have an excellent host country that is investing a lot of time and resources in making one of the best possible IGF meetings so far.
It'll be the best one ever.
Well, thank you very much for joining this workshop. Thank you, ICANN, once again for hosting us, IGFSA for supporting us, and thank you to the online participants that were very patient with us. Listening.
Before you go, we just have two announcements, and let me thank the Secretariat. Turn to Jen for a 30-second announcement, and then I'll make the closing announcement. Thanks.
Sure. Did you want to make an announcement? There's an APEC social that's happening in Kairaku Room. That is the at the basement of the hotel in Portopia. And, of course, the Asia-Pacific community and all guests are very, very welcome to come and mingle and join us.
And the final announcement that I have to make is that usually, and this is in response to one of the comments, usually IGF, I launched the informal NRI networking in Morocco now almost 2 years ago. And we started out in a room, standing room only, with, we thought we would have 10 people. We had over 30. We made Changitai stand up for an hour and a half and talk. But since then, we've become a little more organized. ICANN very graciously gives us a room. This was a very different program, but the booth is available when it's not being used. So we will post a couple of times when Anya and Changitai and I can be available for some informal discussions where we can talk about the other kinds of things that we usually talk about beyond this, in terms including things that are on your mind that then the IGF Support Association can consider. So expect to see, and I have your emails, so even if you're not on the distribution list, I'll work with Anya and Changitai so we can try to find a couple of maybe 30-minute slots over the next couple of days when we can do some informal networking. And thank you all for coming on behalf of IGFSA. It's a good thing those other board members didn't come. I got all the airtime. Thanks so much. And, oh, you might be interested to know there are 46 people here.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.